Let's talk Bill Cosby. We got Wayne and Lynn and Reg. Yo, what's
up? Bill Cosby.
Hello.
Bill Cosby.
What was that? What was the theme song of that Cosby
pops.
Show?
Putting Pops.
What was the theme show? What the theme song of that show was on? It was only music.
It was Bobby McFerrin. Remember Bobby McFerrin?
Oh, he's the guy that sings like tropical music, right?
Well, yeah, he did
happy
all,
tropical
all,
music.
All acapella. He basically re-recorded himself over and over again.
Yeah, I remember.
Don't worry.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Be
right.
happy. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
'90s. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Public Enemy clowned him in one rap. He was like, you know, and shoot, I can't remember the rap. It was Fight
Public
the Power.
Enemy?
Public Enemy. They clowned him. It was like.
Is this the guy with the watch on his chest?
Flavor Flav and all
yeah.
those guys.
The clock.
Yeah, Do the Right Thing was the number one jam. Damn, if you can slap me right now, whatever.
All right.
There's my rap career. So let's talk Bill Cosby. So, Wayne, do you believe all 60 women have claimed that, you know, Bill touched them and whatever? Do you believe all of them?
No, I believe very few of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone's just jumping on the bandwagon. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, it's... I
don't doubt at all that it happened, and it probably happened on several occasions, and that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Some of them more. So, I mean...
It kills me. I mean, why wait? I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, Bill touched me. When did it happen? Well, it happened like 20, 30, whatever years ago. I'm like, why didn't you...
Well, the reason for waiting, well, there is no waiting. The reason is mm-hmm. because I was ashamed. I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
There are legitimate reasons for not reporting. However, I don't believe for an instant that 60 women were too ashamed or afraid to report it.
So I guess maybe they were all down with it. Well, I don't know how you can be down with it. I mean,
they weren't down with it. That's what happened at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens today. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't
right.
happen on the same scale as it did at that time. It was kind of, you know, it was the thing to do.
Right.
You know, you go in and you... Do what needs to be done in order to get what you want out of...
The casualty of business.
It absolutely was.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you.
Absolutely was.
I mean, Lynn, as a woman, would you be too afraid to report something like that if something were to happen to you like that?
Probably yes. I heard some of those women said, you know, their careers might have been on the line. He was a powerful, popular actor with influence at the time.
Yeah.
They feel that time has passed, and they feel like what Wayne was saying. They, you know, other people are talking about it or confessing. I don't know what the right word is. So will I.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know maybe they procrastinated
coming forward.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
yeah.
And of course, if one person comes forward, it's easier for someone
else to
say.
It makes it easier, right?
Yeah. Me too. But
it also is much easier to say, "Oh yeah, me too."
Sure.
Well, I'm sure there's a financial incentive, but I mean, Wayne only believes a few of them.
Yeah.
I believe most of them actually. So
well,
I'm
like,
on the other end.
No, it sounds like what Wayne is saying is it did happen, but uh-huh. I didn't report it because this is the casualty of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute, someone else is reporting it. Okay, me too.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
But I hope they took good notes. I mean, this was like 30 years ago.
But even if they took
10
good notes,
to 30 years ago, statutes of limitation, like you were talking about, right?
Yeah. I mean, and usually the statutes is 10 years. So that's
mm-hmm.
why I think her name is Beverly Constant. I don't know her first name, but you know, it happened in 2004, and she actually did report it. I think one DA basically took the report and says, "No, this is a bunch of crap. Forget about it." But another DA who took office says, "Oh no, we do want to prosecute this, so we are going to prosecute it, and that's why there's a trial right now."
How many years has Bill Cosby been dealing with this?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's been a career. It sounds like he's been doing it. I mean, I remember, God, when I think of Bill Cosby, I think of Mod Squad. I think of Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. I think of the Cosby Show. Obviously, I mean, his career is like a half century. Imagine a half century of influencing people through television, one way or another. And it sounds like all through that time, he's been doing it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
all through that time, he's been, you know, popping, you know, I forget what the drug is. And as a guy, I can't even get into having sex with someone who's not moving. I mean, it's almost like necrophilia.
Is he married?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, he was okay. Been married the whole time. Oh,
yeah, Camille.
And it sounds like she's.
What does Camille think about it?
Well, it's stand by your man.
So she's supporting him.
It sounds like she might have been. She might have been complicit.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah.
It sounds like she might have been complicit. I don't know.
It's sad. I mean, I think about the. You know, we were talking about now. It's. You know, we did a recording last week, and of course, I inadvertently hit a button, and I lost 2/3 of the recording. But we were talking about.
And nobody wanted to hear any of that anyway.
Well,
it was our practice run.
Yeah, exactly. But for real, we're recording. But we were talking about cults.
We were.
And we were talking about, I think it was Heaven's Gate, Gates Cult, and Jim Jones, and how people don't join a cult. They join a religion. They join a church because they believe. Number one, they want a community. They want to be followed, and they want something to believe in. And they usually believe in the person, the minister, who is the head. And they believe in the mythology of who this person is. And Bill Cosby has that.
Absolutely.
How do you tell
someone, I agree, yeah.
30 years, like, you know, it's like Bill Cosby is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And you hear that 30 years, and all of a sudden, no, he's a pedophile. I mean, not a pedophile, but he's... You know,
he's a rapist. Dr. Huxtable's a rapist. Yeah.
But could you imagine, rewind back about 30 years, one person came forward to talk about against Bill Cosby? She would be absolutely, what's the word?
Ostracized.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Or you could,
she would also be rich.
Oh, for the lawsuit? Yeah, he'd think of pay. Well, he's been paying a lot of women off anyway.
No one would even have to come forward. All they'd have to do is make an accusation. He'd pay her up. He'd have paid him off back then.
Yeah, to shut her up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
They could write their own check.
Yeah.
Do these women, a popular thing people tend to do is write books. Do any of these women have books?
Not yet. I'm sure it's coming.
It's coming. Guarantee it.
I think of Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly, you know, a bunch of the women, I'm sure, will be, you know, Megyn Kelly and all those women. Who were, of course, extremely loyal. Fox loyal, you know.
Oh,
it's like Bond's women. Only they're blonde bombshells and they're Republican. And, you know, it's like that's a requirement to be on Fox. And all of a sudden, you know, you have this thing. I never thought that Bill O'Reilly would be taken down. But
yeah, who'd have thought that, right?
Right, exactly. So we'll see what happens in the case. But I think Bill, I can't see a jury of 12 putting Bill Cosby in jail. I just don't know.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Well, back then he was like America's beloved, you know.
He still is.
Television actor.
Well, yeah, he's not on television now. And millennials, you know, I mean, us, we're in our 40s. We
20s. Kidding.
Hey, you look great, man. we remember that, but millennials, they don't remember the Cosby Show. I mean, they may see it on Netflix or, you know, some rewind or whatever, but it's like, you know, they don't, it's not like we've seen it on primetime TV.
What is that girl on, that actress on Bill Cosby? Pulliam? Something?
Oh, Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Keisha Knight Pulliam?
Who played Rudy, I think. And
yeah,
she's
supporting.
Loyal. Yeah, exactly.
She's supporting Bill Cosby.
And it's, I don't know, it's kind of sad. It's almost like. It's
so
like
the trick's going to be for the defense to load the jury pool up with 40 years old and over.
Yeah, you get someone loyal to Bill Cosby. Yeah. So the prosecution's rested, now the defense is on, and of course they're just going to tarnish and feather this woman who claims to be a lesbian, claims that she's not into men at all. So, So we'll see. We will definitely see. What did you think of the NBA Finals? It looks like, you know, we had a party last night, Lynn, and, you know, we were yelling at the TV and... We're just greedy in the Bay Area. You know, we want perfection. I mean, how greedy can we be? It's like, oh, we lost. We're 15 and 1. Damn it.
I was actually reading about, you know how you mentioned last night about the conspiracy theory, the NBA conspiracy theory?
Well, I'll tell you, the NBA is losing a lot of money on these sweeps. You know, they expect game sevens and all that stuff. And both the Warriors and the Cavaliers have swept all of their games. And it's like, you know, like fans are like, yay. And to me, it's like, damn it. You know, we're losing advertising money.
Losing millions.
Yeah, losing millions.
I do agree they're losing money in advertisement, merchandise, TV, ticket sales.
Do you think the refs screwed it.
Well,
screwed
even
it to
Ayesha
the
Curry said the refs were.
Well, of course, that's Steph's wife. What do
well,
you
that's
expect
true.
To say?
That's true. But let's see. But I also read that the NBA owners and the players want the game to finalize and they want to win. I mean, look at what happened last year. It went to game seven and they lost. Like, they would rather have it be over.
Well, they're tired.
And win.
They're
and there's more injuries.
Right, exactly. You know, they're tired. They want this thing.
I mean, NBA owners are billionaires, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think they need, like, I don't know, 20 to 100, 200 million more. They're billionaires.
Well, yeah.
They would like the money, but they would rather win. I mean, if they sweat.
But this is about the networks, not
right.
about
right.
the owners.
Exactly. ESPN, I heard that ESPN is losing millions of dollars because they make, I guess they make a bet. It's like a gamble. You're betting on a particular franchise. Like, they'll bet on, let's say, the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
And so they'll sponsor those games. And before it even begins, they'll spend money, millions of dollars, to get the rights to produce these shows. And they're expecting, and they have the advertisers all lined up. Hey, you know, game five is going to be Doritos or Miller Lite and all that stuff. But if the game doesn't go on, Miller Lite can say, listen, the game never went on, so, you know, I'm not
you're not playing my commercial, you're not getting my money.
Exactly.
No, I totally agree that it's definitely a financial incentive to keep it going for the fans. But, you know, like I also said, you mentioned last night that there has been no team in sports history that has made a sweep. You said Boston against Yankees.
Oh, the
almost
Red Sox.
Almost made a sweep.
I was talking about I was mentioning 2004. The Yankees went three and they in a best of seven. They went game three. They were 3-0, and then game four. From 4-7, Boston basically just ran the table and beat the Yankees, and it was the greatest comeback ever. So the Cleveland Cavaliers will have to do the exact same thing if they're going to win the championship. They have to win every single game.
But could you imagine, like, the prestige of an NBA finals team sweeping?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that would go down in history.
Yeah, the Warriors that won last night, it would have been amazing. So, you know, what can I say? So it's funny. So I was in San Francisco today, and because I had to take my e-bike to a bike shop, and I saw a homeless person on the streets. I saw actually a bunch of homeless folks, and it's really bad in San Francisco. And the guy had a smile on his face, but you know, he had his dog, and he had his he had a pizza that he got from last night or whatever. And he had a Samsung Galaxy Tab, Samsung Galaxy Note phone. Streaming some YouTube video. And I said to myself, wow, America must be so fantastic that even the homeless can afford a phone. I mean, I remember being in India where, you know, I have a friend of mine who is making 4,000 rupee a month, which is basically $60. I mean, I have to pay more than that for my phone bill. And there are times where she's not even getting paid. And it's amazing. It's just amazing the embarrassment of riches America has.
1%.
Well, I don't feel like a 1%er, but you know.
No. I'm saying I'm trying to express the economic, like the money, like the distribution. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, what can you say? So, how's your week, Wayne? What'd you do?
Pretty uneventful.
Yeah.
Pretty uneventful. I'm doing some doing the Dinner Detective.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's good times.
Yeah.
Having a lot of fun with that.
I do wonder, getting back to the homeless, I mean, can you imagine if your one paycheck, let's say if someone screwed your one paycheck, like I remember my dad in the 70s, he would do these jobs. He was a graphic artist, and he worked for one company, and they were like, hey, man, cash that check quick because, you know, the other checks, you know, it may bounce. So he ran, and imagine if one, because a lot of people live by paycheck. Lynn, I mean, if one paycheck bounced, would you be able to survive?
Yeah.
You would?
If one paycheck bounced.
Okay.
If one.
Yeah.
And so many.
So
many is a different story.
Sure. But so you have savings. So you're doing okay.
I wouldn't say okay, but
okay.
I have some money stashed.
not
a lot.
What about you, Wayne?
Not a chance.
Oh, you wouldn't survive?
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't eat. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the homeless, I don't know if I should. Maybe it's not the right word, calling it a trend. But there are some homeless people that have kids.
Yeah.
They have pets.
Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely. There's professional homeless. That's a kind of a thing.
I actually saw something quite bizarre. I was with my friend like about a month ago, Bart, and
mm-hmm.
one girl. She looked like she was about 15 years old, 16 maybe. She had a little baby.
I think I've
seen
her.
And she asked for change around the Bart, and people were giving her like $1 to $2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how. I mean, some people make their living by panhandling.
But this is the catch. 10 minutes later, the girl that looks just like her,
mm-hmm.
but it's not her, so I'm guessing it's her sister or cousin,
uh-huh.
does the same thing and is carrying a baby.
Well, sure.
Asking for tips, but
yeah.
she didn't, not tips, but like money.
Yeah.
But no one gave the second girl money.
I don't know how much money you can get off. I mean, who knows? If you're spending the entire day panhandling, you may get, you know, some money or whatever, but a business.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, really?
You'd be surprised.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many cars pass every off-ramp in a day.
Yeah.
So
some
what,
of them make good money.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
at least 200. Some guy on YouTube said I made 200 singing. What do they call it? Buskers?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? $200 a day?
Yeah. He sings really good.
So let's see.
Come on.
Two times
Reg.
Seven is $1,400.
What?
What?
Yeah. Maybe it's tax-free.
Yeah. Tax-free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some guys have wads of money in their socks.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if those are drug dealers. I mean, you know.
You know, he's asking for money, and then, you know, after people are done giving him money, he wraps it up along with the other wad and slips
yeah.
it in his sock.
Remember
I'm not saying everyone's like that
yeah.
small.
Remember
know,
the dude? He was a couple of years ago, and he had this famous low bass voice, and he used to do voice acting, and he was like his name was Ted Williams, not to be mistaken by the not the splendid splinter baseball
right.
guy, Ted Williams. There was another guy, Ted Williams, and he was on Good Morning America because apparently someone did a YouTube video
yeah.
on him. You remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he had some drug issues, and he became famous. He got a house, and he had a job.
What was his name?
Ted Williams.
Okay.
But he got hooked on, I guess, drinking again. And then he was on Dr. Phil and Dr. Drew, and people want to heal him. And I just felt, you know, these folks are just victimizing him. I mean, they're just, you know, they're just like a cow, just milking him.
Is he like an actor or singer? Or?
Well, I mean, he was a homeless person who was a voice.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
He had a, yeah, what he was a radio
right.
guy, and then he became homeless somehow.
And yeah, yeah, exactly.
Is he back to?
Well, I think he rose back. Back down, and I guess he's
did
back
he,
again.
Did he have a drug or alcohol problem, you say?
Alcohol problem.
Oh,
yeah.
Alcohol problem.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think he backslid, and I haven't heard a word from him at all. So
he might be doing okay? We don't know?
Yeah. Who knows?
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah I remember that story.
Yeah.
I saw it in Inside Edition.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, I do. I remember one of the jobs I had as a in high school, a summer job, was working for the homeless, basically just, you know, meals and all that stuff. And there was an activist named Mitch Snyder, and he had a lot of fasting, basically getting the government to focus on the homeless. And I think his, you know, it really just went for naught. It's just not one of those high-profile things that people, I mean, we have homeless shelters, but a lot of times those are violent. So.
A lot of homeless people I hear
uh-huh.
say they don't like being in those homeless shelters
exactly.
due to
no.
privacy.
Well, they've got tons of rules and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
And, you know, most of them are, I mean, most of them don't allow any kind of substances to be.
Right.
Used.
So if you want to get high,
yeah.
You can't do it in the shelter.
You can't do it in the shelter.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
So.
You got to be in at a certain time and all
yeah.
that stuff. Absolutely.
I mean, if you're homeless, you know, you don't really have to live by anybody's rules.
Exactly.
So could you imagine entering a homeless shelter and you suddenly got all these rules? You're like, screw that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, some folks haven't hit rock bottom. You know, some folks have a lot of issues and they need to be real with those issues.
Well, and you keep in mind, not all homeless folks are there. There are homeless folks that are homeless by choice.
I guess so. What? By because, I mean.
I run into them all the time. I talk
homeless
to homeless
by choice,
folks.
You said?
Absolutely. I talk to homeless folks very often. And, I mean, I obviously have no numbers, but there's a large number of homeless folks that are there because.
And it could be for any reason?
Well, I would say the trend is that most homeless people have substance abuse problems.
Uh-huh.
But that aside, substance abuse or not, a lot of those folks are homeless because they don't want to pay rent.
Okay.
They don't want rules. And they
gotcha.
Don't want
uh-huh.
to, you know, work a job. And and it works. I mean, it's like camping for your whole life, you know?
Camping your whole life.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way.
I mean, if it's the summertime and you're, you know, chilling out on the water, then, you know, it may be cool. And maybe
I know folks that they go into the shelter for the cold spells.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I heard of, I don't know if I should say this, but I heard that there's homeless communities, and it could be anywhere. One place is Golden Gate Park in San Francisco.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, there'll be a team of like 2 to 4 people. And your homeless rent for the month is like anywhere between $10 to $50. And what that does is so that the homeless camp will never be left vacant. So we'll always watch it.
Stay there. Okay.
Exactly. You rotate. You're on a rotation basis. So your camp is safe.
Uh-huh.
There's always somebody there. No one's going to get rid of your tents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if someone being there. I mean, if a cop says you got to move.
Well, they do it at the night. They don't like. I don't think they're like very obvious during
the
day.
It's a protection thing. It's not
okay.
about the cops. It's about someone coming rifling through your tent.
Oh, okay. Then I can dig that. I can understand that. Yeah. And I can understand why they have dogs. I mean, you know, that's the thing that sort of freaks me out because I've been attacked by, you know, a dog before, and a lot of the homeless. And I understand why they have dogs for protection, but. A lot of times they're just walking around.
Protection, companionship. I mean, the same reason we like to have pets, you know.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's and I remember one of the jobs that I had at the DA's office, we had a thing called the Quality of Life Program where we tried to get the homeless into shelters and this and that or whatever. But really, it's just a state of mind. You know, you either want help or you don't.
But some people, you know, some people I know personally say, why don't they get jobs? But I always think, like, have a job, like you need a P.O. box, you need a cell phone.
Well, a job, you need a resume.
You need a nice, you need a shower, you know.
Yeah,
it's hard to have access to those things.
That's
yeah.
kind of a goofy thing for someone to say. I mean, you can't, it's not that easy to just say, oh, just get a job.
Right.
You know?
And think about how many obsolete jobs there are. I mean, imagine being... spending your life as a television repair person, and then all of a sudden the job
is gone.
The industry has shifted to, there's so many disposable goods. I mean, I had my television broken a couple of years ago, and forget about fixing it. I have to buy a new one
mm-hmm.
because it's all disposable goods. Like if your iPhone is broken,
mm-hmm.
no one fixes it. I mean, there are some places that do fix it, but basically.
It'll cost you more than it'll cost you to replace the phone.
Exactly. So everything, almost everything is a disposable good. And that's kind of sad. You know, those days are gone. And so the jobs, there are so many obsolete jobs now. I mean, we were talking, another thing that was deleted in the last podcast was we were talking about Uber. And you were talking about cabbies. And actually, that didn't make it in, you know, about the cabbies that are struggling right now.
Right.
And I think Sears is about to close and Circuit City is leaving. And so a lot of the retail jobs, if you...
Yeah, remember that
retail.
Circuit City out in Emeryville?
Mm-hmm.
Not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Next,
exactly.
it's now Ross.
Oh.
Next to Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Powell's, Emeryville mm-hmm. area.
And I guess Ross will probably still be around because you can shop. I think
clothing
is still something that you can't buy mm-hmm. online reliably. I mean, you could do it, but it's really a dice roll. There's some places you have to walk in the store, try it on. And know that it's, you know, that it'll work. And, but, you know, just online world. I mean, do you buy a lot of stuff online, Wayne?
Not clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do a fair amount of online purchasing.
We can go shopping online.
Yeah, I do a fair amount of purchasing online. I'm one of those guilty parties who goes to Best Buy
mm-hmm.
to, you know, try something out and
yeah.
then go home and buy it online.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see something in the regular store, brick-and-mortar store. I'll take a picture of it with my phone
yeah.
and, you know, see what deal I can get.
My former coworker says she refuses to get in her car, waste gas, drive somewhere looking for parking, go through traffic. She
yeah.
will only purchase online.
Yeah.
And they always get delivered to work.
It's a digital world. I mean, you know, people just don't want to. I mean, I think about Apple just came out with a bunch of stuff this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I guess they're getting into VR, virtual reality. And I wonder how much of our lives are digitized, where, you know, our music, we don't buy music anymore. Virgin Records. I remember when Virgin Records.
Tower Records. Amoeba.
As a matter of fact, Rasputin. You ever walk into
Rasputin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Rasputin was one of the last record stores to still survive because people were into the nostalgia, touching the records and all that stuff. But that closed down.
Rasputin?
No more Rasputin.
There's one left, or is it a, it might be an Amoeba out in San Francisco, out by the Golden Gate Park. Yeah, right on the corner there.
But maybe like one or two, but really, I mean, almost everything that we have is digital, where, you know, everything is just ones and O's, just pixels and stuff like that. And so Apple had this, you know, there was a woman who was doing a demonstration, which I thought was kind of stupid because all she was on, she was on stage
with a thing on her face.
Oh, look, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that, I'm fighting Darth Vader. And all anyone's looking is at her without seeing anything. So
yeah,
sort
not
of
much
funny.
Of, not much of a demonstration.
But
we're looking at her.
But I wonder in the future, will everything be, you know, sort of VR or digital? I mean, do you worry about that or do you?
Do you remember that movie that Tom Cruise was in called Minority Report?
Oh, do I ever.
Do you remember all that digital stuff where he's jogging and
it's coming, man.
It's like 360 of like he's jogging through the forest.
Yeah. Or The Matrix. Think about The Matrix. Think about Dark City and all of that. I mean, and the did you see Dark City?
Oh, God, yes.
I love
that
Dark
fantastic
City.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah. Basically about virtual reality. Truman Show with Jim Carrey?
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Ed TV, where, but I wonder, one of these days, we'll be given this thing. We won't have monitors anymore. We'll just have something that goes over our eyes. We think we're sleeping and we'll be doing something. I mean, we won't be able to tell what's real and what's digital anymore. I mean, you know, that's.
The first time I experienced that was I was 15, and it was, they had a, you could test it. It was at the Blue Angels in Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
So you walked into this room, you put on the thing on your eyes.
Yeah.
It gave me a headache.
Well, you know, that remember the Nintendo Virtual Boy. I remember that. But that was crappy.
It wasn't Nintendo Virtual Boy, but they were trying to show you what virtual reality could be. But, I mean, back in the day, this was a long time ago.
It's
very bad.
My prediction is that we're all going to be walking around with the next generation Google Glass. Of course, Google Glass ended up a failure.
Not a lot of people wore them after.
They weren't cost effective, and B, you know, it's new and people are resistant to change.
And also, people were freaked out. I mean, if you want to freak out somebody,
that's
at
what
heart,
I mean by new. Yeah,
if you want to freak out somebody, of course, people can't see that. I'm pointing a phone at Lynn.
Right.
If
that
I
is kind of weird. That's kind
of
weird.
Of course, your reaction is, don't take a picture of me. Don't.
But
what are
when
you doing?
You're wearing glasses,
which is again a goofy reaction because your picture is being taken all over everywhere you go. It's not
absolutely.
There's no such thing as privacy. You're right. It's really interesting the reactions people get when they suddenly feel that their privacy is being violated. On some level.
Like, I guess Big Brother, you know, people would worry about when 1984, the year, came around, and they were like, oh, I wonder if we're going to live like the George Orwell's 1984.
Oh, we're way beyond George Orwell
today. But the thing is, Big Brother is us. So we thought Big Brother would be the government. Some people may argue Big Brother is the government, but Big Brother is really the corporations. I mean, Google.
Oh, they're one and the same.
Yeah.
They're one and the same.
I have friends that say.
Corporations run the government.
Yeah, there you go.
I agree. I have friends that say, I will not download apps because I'm being spied on.
You don't have to download the apps. You're being spied on regardless.
You're being spied on already.
Trust me.
I mean, if you go to a website and buy something, and all of a sudden you go on another website, and all of a sudden you see an ad for the same thing you bought, you know you're being followed.
But you know what I think is creepy? When you like you just said, you buy something mm-hmm. and there's a similar ad to what you bought. That's creepy.
Oh, all you got to do is call Trump a Nazi and then go on Facebook, and then you'll be they'll be trying to sell you Nazi flags. They think you're a Nazi.
Well, it's the algorithms. You know, they have these algorithms, these apps, or I'm sure there are developers who create these things.
Yeah, but I told her, I'm like, you're just a little person. No one cares about you. They're only going to start paying attention to you when you do something big. You know what I mean?
Well, I disagree. I think they care about little people.
On a totality, they care about the mass amount
of
people.
Exactly. On aggregate.
But I'm talking about.
They count. They care about the little people in aggregate. Mm-hmm. So they don't care that you personally, Lynn, said Trump's a Nazi. They do want to know that 20,430,000 people called.
If you talk about terrorism or whatever, I guarantee something. You'll get a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Again, it's I think that's an aggregate. That's on aggregate. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I'm not of the mindset that there's those keywords that you hear people
mm-hmm.
talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Keywords that say the NSA or somebody is looking for that sparks some kind of red flag.
I think a lot of people do it.
Certainly.
Talk about, those words or mention those words. But like I said, they're probably just going to attract someone who's like deep knowledgeable about that stuff.
Well,
there's
suspicious behavior,
Well, I certainly hope that, if it's why we have an NSA and all of the stuff that Snowden used to work for, the company, if they're going to, if they have the data, hopefully they are trying to find terrorists. I would love for this government to find, if there are terrorists. I'm not worried about, maybe I should be worried about, excuse me, terrorists, but if you want to have the technology, use it to protect the country.
I feel safe in saying that if that wasn't happening, we would have been attacked many, many times since 9/11.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Okay.
I'm going to fade that out. I don't even know why that happened. Okay, so in any case.
Must be time for commercial.
Shoot, I wish we had a commercial. That would be nice, because that would be money. That'll be in the future. But in any case, do you worry about...
Last time that happened, it stopped recording.
No.
Yeah,
I was going to say that, but I didn't. And the numbers are rolling, so that we're all good. So, in any case, do you worry about? You don't worry about Big Brother. You don't worry about your information being out there.
I assume that Big Brother is listening.
Mm-hmm. But you don't care.
Care?
It doesn't worry. You're not. It doesn't keep you awake at night.
It's not going to change my life.
Okay. Yeah.
You're right. It's one of those things that is and is not going to change,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. Because there are billions of people. I don't know what the population is in America, but I imagine if I worked for, let's say, the NSA and I had all of this information, how in the world? It's like a needle in a haystack. How do you pluck all of what do you do with the information?
Well, that's where the aggregate comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's all done digitally. I don't think there's anybody sitting with headphones on listening to anybody's conversation, or there's nobody looking around through emails. However, when their algorithm comes up and says, well, this email just, has been having communications with such and such in Iran over
mm-hmm.
the past year.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that's going to pop up, I think, some kind of red flag, not that in particular, but there's going to be certain
mm-hmm.
characteristics that pop up, a red flag that's going to have prompt an individual to go investigate.
Right.
On the other hand, aggregate information is very useful
mm-hmm.
without any details. They don't need any details.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure they know every single word in every single email, every single text we send,
mm-hmm.
every single phone call we make is all being compiled.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure of it.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. I mean, my daily life is not obstructed by, if they want to collect information on me, that's fine.
Yeah, jokes on them. I got nothing interesting.
Yeah, we're not doing anything.
Right.
There's nothing about us.
Now, you two are Droid users. You have Androids
correct.
Phones. Do you get bombarded by, like, junk mail or whatever? Or I mean, I try to avoid Google like the plague. And
I'm Google everything.
Yeah. How about you, Lemon? Do you have, like, junk mail? I mean, are you frustrated by, I don't know,
I have many different emails. I have an email for junk. I have an email for personal.
Uh-huh.
I have an email for advertisements, et cetera.
Wow.
So I don't really care.
How many emails do you have?
I'm not going to say it, but
okay.
A handful.
I mean, I have three.
A handful, because
well,
I don't
over
want.
Over a dozen.
Is that
wait,
right?
did you say you have over a
dozen
emails?
I have.
And is it to separate all these different things?
I have fake email for free stuff at yahoo.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want personal email mixing up with junk email.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And actually, email is becoming archaic anyway. I mean, I really only use emails for, like, work, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly going through my old emails to look for things that someone have said. Like I said, at work. But usually if someone tells me, hey, there's an audition, you know, you need to do this, someone's going to text me or I'll get a Facebook post or something like that. It just seems, and I've heard millennials say, you know, texting, dude, I mean, that's like
that's
the rotary
phone. So 2000, yeah.
Right. Do you remember the rotary phone? Did you ever use a rotary phone?
We had one.
Okay.
That shows you how old I am.
I still remember stretching that long twisted cord down the hallway and into the room and close the door so that no one could hear what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to know something trippy?
What's that?
I remember my phone number on the rotary phone.
So do I.
Yeah.
And
so
I think because you're using your finger to do that dial, imprints the memory in your head.
Oh, no. I had at least 30 phone numbers memorized back.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. You had to memorize all your friends' numbers, everybody you called. You had to memorize
their numbers.
Yeah,
now you don't. You just know their name.
Yeah,
you just know their name, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a hard time remembering my own number now.
I remember 1-800-COLLECT.
Absolutely.
Where you had to make a collect call to someone from another state.
Yep.
Because it costs so much money,
so
you use the 800 number to have a lower cost. It's amazing. AT&T had so much power back in the day.
I mean, now we have stuff like these chat apps where you can talk with people on the phone or text for free. You
oh,
know
sure,
what I mean?
Like WhatsApp and Skype and all that.
Right,
stuff.
Skype, yeah. That's a popular one.
I want to talk about radio. I was thinking about radio. Do you listen to radio anymore? I mean,
me?
Yeah.
I constantly listen to talk radio, yes.
Oh, talk radio.
Yes.
But like your music, like...
Never.
Yeah, me either. How about you, Len?
I listen to music on YouTube.
Okay.
Sometimes radio.
Right, but actually, what about AM, FM radio?
Yeah,
I mean,
when I'm in
obviously,
the car,
it's still making money, because it would be obsolete if it wasn't making money. So
I think it's getting close to getting obsolete. I mean, Sirius and XM. XM. They're sort of taking over, but even then,
I don't know. There's still a lot of radio stations out there. I mean,
they still exist, right?
Right. They're spending a lot of money on their production. So if they're not recouping that, then they can't be in business. I mean, they're paying their DJs a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, they're paying rights for the music they're playing.
Yeah.
And apparently, they're clearly making enough to at least recoup, and turn a profit.
Yeah, I guess so, because when I think, I mean, I hardly, like you and I, we were off mic, we were talking about the old stereo systems and tuners and stuff
right.
like that, and a lot
yeah,
of
Yeah, you
that
and I should never be off mic.
Exactly, we have so many fascinating conversations, not this boring crap we're doing right now. But any case, yeah, back in the day, my dad, and, you know, Dad, you're listening, you know, happy pre-Father's Day, but he had a stereo system. He had the speakers, and he would string it over. And
yeah.
It took so much pride.
Oh, I had all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auxiliary 1 would be the record player.
Yep.
Auxiliary 2 would be the tape deck.
Yep. Oh, I had all that. Oh, yeah.
Now it's just Bluetooth, you know, or
yeah,
really, or anything at all.
You know what Greg said to me the other day?
Uh-huh.
He's on my 8-track. I'm like, you're what?
Oh, the 8-track. I remember the 8-track.
Oh, I
How
remember
old
the
are
8-track.
You, Greg?
I remember the 8-track very well. My uncle had a huge 8-track selection, thousands of 8-tracks, and past my day, so I never owned any 8-tracks, but I listened to my uncle.
We're talking about 8-tracks, what year are we talking about?
Well, I'm in my 40s.
No, what year was it in, like?
It was in the 80s.
Oh,
when, 80s?
Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, 8-tracks were at that time, I think, not really.
Late 70s,
yeah.
80s. As a matter of fact, I didn't have an 8-track. My uncle had a bunch of 8-track tapes.
Yeah.
Do you remember 2XL? 2XL was a toy in the late 70s, 80s that played 8-track tapes. I think it was...
A toy that played 8-track tapes?
Yeah, what happened was, but the tapes were not musical stuff. They were like educational stuff. So they would tell you, you know, what is 2 plus 2?
Yeah.
If it's 1, press this button. If it's 2, press that button. And you hit it, and the tape would rewind to, yes, you hit the correct, you know, thing. And I remember, this is not a great story, but in any case, I would go, my uncle, he was like a black John Wayne. He was like, you know, don't screw with me, and I will beat your butt if you drop that thing. And he talked like this and, you know, whatever. And he was just trying to, I don't know, macho man, whatever.
Well, the 8-track's over there, Pilgrim.
Exactly. And so, but I remember bringing my 2XL to my grandmother's house. My uncle was living there at the time. And the biggest smile just came on his face as if it's like a toy. And he ran upstairs,
yeah.
You know, in his mid-50s, you know, he couldn't really run because he had bad legs or whatever, but he brought down his 8-track tapes and he would just plug in the tapes, and it was like, wow, I could actually play them, because I guess maybe the 8-track recorder was broken, and...
There was a huge problem in the 80s with folks like my uncle and your uncle,
mm-hmm.
who had massive 8-track collections, and once their player and their recorder would break, they couldn't replace it.
Interesting.
They could
that.
Not
yeah.
replace
yeah.
it?
Yeah, they couldn't know because no one sold them. Because,
oh,
because
I see.
The cassette,
it was obsolete.
The cassette,
I see.
The cassette had taken over at
yeah.
that time.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
what
so,
is... Okay, go ahead.
So we all had our cassette tapes and our cassette recorders were, you know, and all these 8-track folks weren't able to use their 8-tracks, their 8-track cassettes because their players had gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they learned that lesson when... Because, I mean, today you can still get cassette players for those of us who are, you're mm-hmm. my age, who
yeah.
have our cassette collections.
Oh, you're talking about regular cassettes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, our office still, we have investigators who will bring in from outside agencies, say,
right.
can you convert this?
Right.
And a lot of the paralegals are like, whoa,
yeah.
what am I going to do with this? Luckily, I can still do it. But it is becoming fast, you know, really, really obsolete.
What do 8-track tapes look like? Are they like bulky tapes, and is the whole machine big?
They look
big
like
and bulky?
A cross between a cassette tape and a VCR tape.
Oh, really?
If you remember,
yeah.
if you remember the Atari 2600 cassettes,
mm-hmm.
oh,
they're
yeah.
slightly
oh,
bigger
I,
than
I
that.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say, but I know what you're talking
yeah.
about. Yeah,
they're a little bit fatter.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
And is the machine kind of big and bulky, or?
Mm. Not,
or
really.
Not really. Oh,
I guess
okay, gotcha.
It varies. I've never seen one.
Okay.
I have. There, it's the same as a cassette player, but I mean, you got to keep it. The 8-track cassette. Nice.
Ignore me.
The eight track cassette, I guess, would be about 3 times the size of a just you know, visually off the top of my head, be about 8 times the size of a cassette that you and I.
Okay, gotcha.
Would play. Yeah. So the player obviously has to accommodate that. So it's a little bulkier
mm-hmm.
than but the cassette player itself looks pretty much the same.
I think the industry at the time was sort of experimenting. What's going to work? What's not going to work? Because you had the reel-to-reel. My dad had a reel-to-reel.
My dad had a reel-to-reel.
And that was fantastic. It was great.
And the Super 8. Remember
yeah,
Super 8?
Yeah,
same
the Super
8. Yeah, yeah. Reel-to-reel
and
Super 8.
And in the recording industry, they had the DAT tapes, the
yep.
DATs,
yeah.
Which were these fat, you know, thick tapes.
That was all like industrial. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah,
because you could record. Yeah. They were fat enough to you can squeeze tracks on.
Exactly.
Like eight tracks or whatever, and you had the 8-track tape. So, but finally, the cassette tape that we all know, that became the standard. Just like computers. Like computers had the, remember the great big discs? The five and a quarter, what was it, 5 1/4 discs?
Those are 5 1/4, but you're for before 5 1/4, what was there?
I have no idea.
There was cassettes.
That's right.
On the Commodore 64.
Uh-huh.
I remember the Commodore
oh,
64.
Wow.
The Commodore 64 was a unit, and the CPU lived inside the keyboard, and you would attach the keyboard to your television set to the junction for the rabbit ears with the two little screws on the back.
Right, I remember those.
Yep. Yep, and your Commodore would attach to your television set, and that's your computer, and it's one solid unit, only the keyboard,
mm-hmm.
and inside the keyboard is the CPU. And then if you wanted to store information, you would have a cassette deck that you would attach to the computer, and there would be cassettes, and you could have, you know, your games
mm-hmm.
on a cassette. So, and it would take, like, 30 minutes to load, like, a Snoopy game. Like, and you'd get
wait, 30 minutes, a half hour?
Yes.
To load?
Literally. You
wow.
Would, and this game, and this game is literally, like, Snoopy is, like, going, is on his Red Baron doghouse,
yeah.
And he's on the left side of the screen, and you can move him up
remember,
or down.
This is like 4-bit, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, 64 stood for, I think, 64 megabytes or kilobytes or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
I think it was megabyte. I think it was 64 megabytes
yeah.
of power, period.
Right.
That's
right.
all you had.
Right.
So that's why I say the tape, you would stick the tape in, and it would and you would press play.
Yeah.
And you would sit back and you'd wait. You go eat lunch or something or watch a TV show.
Oh, my
and you
God.
Come back, and that sucker's loaded, and Snoopy's sitting there on the left side of your screen, and you
yeah.
can move him up or down and shoot
oh
things.
Oh, God.
Do you remember a game called Wizard of Wiz on Commodore 64?
I do not remember Wizard of Wiz, no.
I remember Wizard of War, W-O-R, but that was an arcade game. But go ahead.
But do you, okay, we all remember Pac-Man, right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, take
Pac-Man. Sounds like a knockoff.
Take Pac-Man and bring it down like 20 notches and you got
well,
Wizard of Wiz.
Well, it's not a knockoff because Pac-Man was Atari, which was after Commodore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Atari
yeah,
was after
so
Commodore.
Yeah, so.
Commodore, Atari, Nintendo.
So maybe it was an inspiration.
Oh, yeah. I remember back then there were so many. As a matter of fact, our high school had a computer lab of Commodore 64s. I never went in there because I just wasn't in computers at the time. But back then, as far as video games were concerned, there was the Atari 2600,
yep.
which used to be the VCS.
Yep.
There was the 5200. There was the Intellivision.
Exactly.
There was the ColecoVision.
ColecoVision. Yeah.
I'm sure there was a bunch of others.
Those were the three big ones, Atari,
yeah.
Intellivision, ColecoVision.
Yeah, and I think it contributed to the crash because there were just so many. And, of course, our parents were like, my God, I'm buying you another system, for God's sake. What happened to the other system, and why can't you use that? And I'd buy a game, and I'd go over to a friend's house. Hey, let's play Pac-Man on the 2600. Well, man, I've got a ColecoVision.
Right.
I can't play that. And so that contributed to the crash. Video
and
game
then
crash.
Nintendo happened.
That's right. Nintendo dropped the bomb. What was your first video game?
You know what that
is. Yep. Was that your first video? Was that your first console, Lynn?
Yes, Nintendo. Nintendo. We had what was it? What is that one game? Contra? Is it Contra?
Yeah, Contra.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that right? They ported that to the Nintendo?
Nintendo, yeah.
Contra,
oh.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
yeah.
remember. You could play in teams. One was a red guy, one was a blue guy.
Yeah.
You know, you got the Super Mario Brothers. You got Duck Hunt.
Yeah. It's funny because I jumped into video games, of course. Yeah, I remember like it was yesterday when Dad brought in. Actually, Atari, before they had the 2600, they had a video console, where the controls were embedded onto the system, and they were like turn controls. Basically, it was Pong. It was a Pong game, and that was really, really it. But we were still fascinated. It was like, wow, there are pixels moving on the screen. We can control it, and it was really wonderful. And but arcades, I mean, I remember just going in. I remember Flippers and Golden Dome. People may not remember this because this may have
pockets
been an East Coast thing.
Pockets full of quarters, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
These stores that just had nothing but video
nothing
games
but
inside
video.
Of them.
They still exist. They're
yeah.
still out there, yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah, I think in San Francisco, I forget where, but there's like this whole, there's a store that just has a place just full of video games, and that was the big thing. And then I sort of dropped out of it, especially the consoles, because it was like, oh, for God's sake, you know, it's so boring, and, you know, it's nothing as good as the arcades. And then I went off to college, and then I come back. Now I have my brother and sister who are younger than I am. It's a 14-16-year difference. So they're maybe like 10 years old. I come back home, and I'm like, what's this thing? This is the Nintendo thing. And I'm like, oh, it's probably boring. But I could play Tecmo Bowl. Oh, man, I love Tecmo Bowl. And all this other stuff. And then, of course, PlayStation. And my sister got into Final Fantasy. And the role-playing games. And now you're playing games for hours and hours and hours on end, and you have these worlds that you can play. Because back then, you just played a scene over and over and over again. And now you have these worlds, and your parents are like, well, wait a minute. You've been playing this thing for 5 hours. What's going on?
I don't know if this is a rumor.
I think Super Mario kind of set the bar that.
Yeah.
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 So I don't know if this is a rumor or if it's true, but I heard, you know, how some of these kids are in these different worlds and they're lost in their video game playing. So I heard there's a button where you could order pizza.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You can have your pizza like
on your PlayStation.
True?
Oh yeah, on your PlayStations and on your on your Xboxes. Yeah. Not only you can virtually do anything on those boxes. Yeah.
I've heard there's an epidemic in Japan where I guess there's people who are so obsessed with these games, like they have these computer cafes, and people are there for like hours on end, and I've heard a couple of folks have died.
What?
Have died because they just did nothing but play video games. They were just so lost in this virtual world. Getting back to the topic we were talking about beforehand.
Well, you know, if you die in that world, you die in real life.
Exactly.
That's funny, but not funny, but funny.
Yeah, exactly. But I do wonder about the internet as far as people adopting. Let's say if you didn't like yourself. This gets into another conversation that we had last week that was lost, existentialism, where if you don't like the life that you have right now, I can just jump online and create a
whatever life you want.
Yeah. I can be, a bimbo. I can be, I can be anything. I can be, have you ever had to deal with being catfished? Like, someone represents something to you and all of a sudden they're just someone completely different?
No.
How about you, Lynn?
I will tell you, no. The answer is kind of no, but I will tell you I'll tell you a strange video game story.
Sure.
So I was playing video games at one point, and it was like a international server.
Uh-huh.
You know, people were playing on this game like all over
it's
the
like
world.
It's like an MMORPG, massive multiplayer. Was it one of those things? Like
no, I will tell you what it was. It was a chess server.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not really good at chess, but it was a chess server.
Hey, you kicked my butt last week, but I got you yesterday.
You kicked my butt last night.
Yeah.
But it's, and I'm not good at all, but it's this game where you play in teams of chess, and it's called Bughouse Chess.
Hmm.
And these people from all over the world play.
Mm-hmm.
So I start talking with this crazy guy online, right?
Because
he's like in the rooms cussing.
Oh, okay.
And stuff, and just like going ballistic, like, you know. I mean, he's really good at chess, though. This guy is excellent at chess. But anyways.
Obviously, he takes it a little too seriously.
He's got, like, one of the highest scores on that server.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, so we start talking about, where do you live? Oh, the United States. Oh, where are the United States? Oh, California. Where in California? Bay Area. Oh, Bay Area? Where in the Bay Area? Oakland, where? He lives down the street from me.
Well, so he says.
No, he really did. We met up.
Oh. He's real. Okay.
I still know him to this day.
Okay.
But I'm just telling
so
you
I
the
guess
story.
That would be the opposite of the catfish.
Yeah, that would be the opposite of the catfish. Yeah. That was pretty brave of you.
I'm just telling you the story because all these people on the internet server are from all over the world, and he lives freaking down the street from me.
Yeah. What are the odds?
And I did go with him to a chess tournament.
Yeah.
I didn't play, but it was just a bunch of guys getting in a house at Reno playing chess, and they go to Europe every year to play chess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is he a weirdo, or is he just, I don't know, eccentric?
He's crazy when it comes to playing chess online, but he said he quit because it's a waste of time. He's like, they're logging in too many games. You know, you only got so much time in your life. Yeah.
I mean, I've played chess online, and especially the speed chess, and If you have a server that's lagging, or if the server's lagging, all of a sudden, you could lose a game. Or
you're guaranteed to lose if you're lagging. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't
or someone uses a robot algorithm and beats me, and I'm like, okay, well, screw it. So I'd rather play live.
I don't understand the point of that. That's just kind of goofy.
Yeah.
I used to play this one game. I don't know if you guys knew it was a computer game. Star Siege Tribes.
No,
it was
what's that about?
First-person shooter. FPS games.
Well, I love First Person Shooters. I've never heard that one before.
You will like it. I don't play games anymore, but I liked it back in the day.
Now, I love Doom. Have you? You of course, you've heard of Doom, right?
Yeah.
It's Doom, yeah. So I still play that, although the game has been out since 92. But they have these folks who will still create WADs for them. Basically, you can, how do I describe this? Well, basically,
create what?
Well, so John Carmack and John Romero, they created Doom, and they outsourced, they made the game open source. I think that's what you call it. So they released the code for it, so you can make modifications and you can create new episodes of the games. And people will load this onto a server, and you can download it and you can play it. It's like playing a whole new game again.
That's crazy.
And it's awesome. It's really, really good. And usually companies don't do that because you lose money, but you know they've moved on to other things. So I'm still downloading and playing and all that stuff. And I'm into what's known as MAME, which is Multiple Arcade Machine Emulator. So there's an emulator that you can – trust me, I'm not really – I mean, listen, I work during the day. I work during the day and yeah, pay my bills. I'm not, you know, I'm not a nerd like that. But you can find ROMs of the authentic games of the 80s, like Contra and Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and all that stuff.
I remember Donkey Kong.
And you can play it on any computer.
Oh, wow.
So it's awesome. It's really, really cool.
My ex used to have, what do you call it when you get together and a bunch of people bring their computers together and have a party? A LAN party?
Oh, LAN party, yeah.
Is that what I call it? LAN party?
Yeah.
That's kind of nerdy.
Bit nerdy, but hey, there are folks who are making money. I mean, that's become an industry now. You know, there are people who are playing Street Fighter V, and they've got sponsors.
Yeah,
and
how in the world is that happening?
They got sponsors.
You're
going to
sit and watch some guy playing a video game, and yeah, I'm like, how does that work, man?
You know what I thought was interesting? I was watching, like, some YouTube clips, and there are people that will play video games. So you see their video game, but they're talking about a certain subject.
Wait. It gets better, dude. You got a guy sitting there playing a video game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that guy playing a video game, but that's not what you're watching.
Exactly.
Because you're watching this other guy who's watching that guy play his video game and talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this is just insane.
Hilarious.
How is this a thing, man?
It's like if Howard Cosell were saying, oh, my God, you know, and Wayne Rhodey, and, you know, he's using guile, and he's, you know, beating up Lynn, and what's Lynn going to do? Oh, wait a minute, she's coming back with Ryu and Chung Li and incredible, and let's watch what he does then. He's using the, you know, the fierce button and this button and
right?
that button. ESPN, they picked that up.
All I got to say is WTF.
WTF.
Yeah, totally. Hey, I mean, I like watching on YouTube. Not necessarily people, you know, because really, if you're watching the contestants playing the video games, you're just watching a bunch of folks hitting the buttons. And they don't even react. A lot of them are from Japan. There's one guy named Infiltration who's from South Korea. But really, they don't have any reactions at all. They're just pushing buttons and what have you. So it's really nothing fascinating. I mean, the game itself is fascinating. A lot of times when I would buy games for my brother and sister, I wasn't even interested in playing them. I just wanted to watch them. Some of these video games are better than the movies. Like Metal Gear Solid. I mean, the cutscenes are like, wow, that's really fascinating. And you're watching the storyline, and I'm like, hey, this is better than Pirates of the Caribbean.
I was truly impressed.
This is better than the Tom Cruise flicks.
The quality of video games since our days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, it looks like a real-life movie.
Yeah. Like Mass Effect. Not the latest Mass Effect. Mass Effect Andromeda has been really crappy, but the other Mass Effect, they're having sex.
Oh, Lord.
You know, you've got, you know, Commander Shepard with, you know, some alien and, you know.
That's strange. Video game porn.
Yeah, and if you control the character Shepard, you can choose which, you know, alien woman you want to have sex with.
What's the name of this game?
Mass Effect.
How do you spell that?
Massefect.
Oh, he's taking notes?
Right. So, I guarantee you virtual porn will be next.
I was just going to say, like, virtual movies, like, imagine watching a movie and you felt like it was right in front of you.
Right.
You know, or, I guess, you know, like what you said.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, listen, porn is a multi-billion dollar industry.
Well, who needs a partner if you got virtual porn, right?
Right. Put on the goggles and, you know, get out your Vaseline.
Done and done, baby.
Oh, my. Okay.
I'm sorry, Lynn.
I really don't care. I've heard worse stuff. I don't care.
There's the safest possible sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is safe sex. That's true.
And they say that porn has controlled the industry. I mean, you know, think about the VHS Betamax.
You better believe it, man. You better believe it.
Yeah, back in the, what was it, 80s, 70s? Yeah.
Porn industry is dead now, though. You know, they just closed down the, what is it, Kink? Over at the Armory.
Is that right? They shut it down.
What is this?
So there's a, I can't even believe that I know that. Mom, turn off the podcast, Mom. Don't listen. I love you, Mom. But in any case, there's a group that rented out a mansion in San Francisco. I guess it was, you know, and they did BDSM.
Yeah.
Sadomasochism.
Oh, okay.
And they set the bar for the porn industry ever since. They opened their doors.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of that company?
Kink.com.
Kink, and they were just, you know, releasing videos? Is that what's going on? Okay. And this got shut down?
Yeah, got shut down.
Recently?
Well, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, like very recently.
Did the cops shut it down?
No. They're just not making any money because of...
Well, I mean, people are buying it. I mean, I'm sorry. No, people are not. That's the problem.
No one's buying it anymore. It's all free online.
Because I've heard that porn stars were complaining that they would do these, or producers were complaining that
The stars don't care. They get paid.
Oh, is that right?
I have no idea how the industry works. The stars show up. They're getting paid by the producer. Problem is, producer can't sell their stuff because once it gets released online, it's free.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you have paid sites. Mm-hmm. I should be ashamed to say that I know about all this. But
I'm so not ashamed to say I know all about it.
Yeah. But so they have paid sites. And, of course, you can get on the paid site and you can use a screen capturing or video capturing software to capture it. And then you can put it on another site for free.
All it takes is one person to subscribe to the site.
Yep.
And download the content and then share it. And once it's shared once, whoever...
That's right.
It's shared with, gets to share it again.
So I have a question. If they do this, as you say, then how do they make their money then? How does the porn industry make their money?
That's the problem. They're not.
Right.
They're done. They're
And I've heard that porn stars or, I guess the porn stars are still making money, but I guess the producers may say, listen, I can't hire you because I'm not making any money, so see you later.
Well, they're shutting down the doors.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of porn stars are actually doing escort services.
Right.
To make up their money. It reminds me a lot of the music industry. I mean, that's why Beyonce and Ariana Grande are doing so many concerts, because concerts are the only way they can make money, because no one buys music anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how the music industry has gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the porn industry as well. So, and who knows?
Sometimes the really popular ones can...
The only problem with the porn industry is they can't have a concert and serve. They can't service 3,000 people in 3 hours. So of course there are some videos. There are some videos where they do service quite a few people in a couple of hours.
Well, I'm sure they have gentlemen. You know, like aren't there a couple of gentlemen places in San Francisco where, you know, go-go clubs?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, they don't call them go-go clubs anymore, man.
Sounds like kind of 80s.
Dude. My dad would call them go-go clubs.
Well, what do they call them nowadays?
I don't know.
Gentlemen's clubs?
Gentlemen clubs? Yeah.
Well,
I mean, like,
yeah, they are strip clubs.
Yeah, they're strip clubs. Well, yeah, Crazy Horse Gentlemen's Club, exactly.
Right.
It's the big one in San Francisco, the big world-renowned one, yeah.
So I have a funny story. Okay, so my dad, on my 21st birthday, Dad, if you're listening to this, you know, you can jump on my case.
This is just a rough day for parents, isn't it?
So in any case, he takes me to a strip club for my birthday. And there's nothing worse than going to a strip club with your parents. I mean, it's
okay, awkward, weird.
What am I supposed to do? Get excited and there's my dad right next to me.
Wait, was he trying to introduce you to manhood?
I guess. I don't know. Male bonding, whatever,
bonding,
you know.
Okay.
You're a man now.
That does seem quite awkward to me. Yeah.
And we went into this place, and it was run down, and the girls were fat, and, you know, they had the dullest looks on their faces, and you got these middle-aged men.
Your dad was bad at this game. So after we get off here, I'll take you to.
No, hey.
I'll take you to a nice place.
Because you know all of the places right now.
I know a few of them.
And he was like, and he was like, "Happy birthday, son." I'm like, "Okay, that's great. Can we go back?"
Wait, did he surprise you? He's all, "I'm gonna take you.
I'm gonna take you to
a nice restaurant. Close your eyes." Was it a surprise, or did you know where you were going?
No, it was a surprise,
got
and
it,
I was
okay.
like, "Yeah, okay."
You don't sound like you care too much for it.
Now,
Dad, what do you think of her tits?
Now, here's another funny story. So now I'm in New York, and I'm dating this girl. This is a New York girl. Her name was Roxanne, and
oh,
she's
that's,
like, you know,
that's a great stripper name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roxanne.
Absolutely.
Roxanne.
So she tells me, "Hey, let's go to a strip club." I'm like, "You want to go to a strip
club?"
Oh,
that's the stuff, dude. That's a keeper, bro. Maybe there's nothing worse than going to the strip club with your dad, but there is definitely, I promise you, nothing better than going to the strip club with a woman.
So we go to the strip club, and New York, it's a little bit more spicy. This is before Elliot. Before Dink, after Dinkins, who cleaned up Giuliani? I'm sorry, we grew up Giuliani.
Oh, good old Giuliani.
Yeah, this is before Giuliani cleaned everything up.
Oh yeah, and started
Street,
telling everybody what size sodas they could buy.
Yeah, exactly. But on 42nd Street, you had strip clubs everywhere.
Yep.
You had porn shops everywhere. I had a teacher at NYU. A guy named John Sperry. He told a joke. He was like, "Oh, I found a dollar. I can see four movies now." And nobody in this class got it but me.
Right.
For obvious reasons. And I'm not going to explain the joke. So, in any case, my girlfriend.
Some people got it.
So, my girlfriend's like, "Come on, let's go to a strip club." I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's fine." So, we go to a strip club, and of course, the girls, and it's a lot better than, you know, in the one that I went to in D.C. You know, there's like this. This platform in the middle, and you've got this bar that surrounds the platform, and the girls are dancing. And my girlfriend's looking at me, is like, "Okay, which one's the cutest one? Which one's the cutest one?" And I'm like, "Well, baby, you're the
one." Oh, that's
cutest
a trick
one.
Question. Oh, you win. You win. There you go, buddy.
Exactly. And but she was just fascinated. She was like, "Wow."
Was that
I've
her
been.
First time, or she's
oh,
been
yeah.
there before?
No. It was her first
so
time.
So it was a curiosity.
It was a curiosity. Mm-hmm. Aren't you curious about going to a strip club, Lynn?
I've been to a strip club with my ex before.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never been to one. Oh, actually, I've been to a strip club on a bachelor party. I don't know how I ended up in a bachelor party, but we went to a strip club, and I didn't do anything bad. Okay? I'm just going to preface that right now. But
okay.
At the strip club, we weren't there during the afternoon. But if you go there in the afternoon, they have a buffet.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So they say the best thing there is fried chicken.
All you can eat, baby.
Fried chicken. They love the fried chicken there.
No, okay.
I never been there before. No. I mean, I was there during the bachelor party, but no. I never came back for the buffet.
Don't try the sushi.
Don't. I was going to say no salad, right?
Yeah, but I've been
okay.
to it because of it. It's a curiosity thing, like you
yeah.
said. You know what I mean? I don't
yeah.
really care about it. But
yeah.
The guys that I were with, they didn't care either, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, the girls were pretty, but after you see one, you know, it seems like you've seen them all, unless you go to the back room. I didn't do anything, okay? You're going to cut this out.
No. No, we got to keep it all. We got to keep it all.
No, you're not.
I bet you I could make you cut some. Don't try me, buddy.
Hey. But I did have a friend of mine. I had a friend of mine who I graduated from high school with, and he took me to a strip club. And, of course, he knew all the girls. Like, oh, there's Jenny and there's Jane and whatever. And
all right, he's a way better man than me.
He knew all the girls.
Yeah.
He's a better man than me.
I'm sure he was trying to, you know, get. And he was a smooth talker. I mean, you know,
a regular?
Yeah, he was a regular. And the cool thing, he was a paraplegic. He couldn't use his legs. I think he was just born that way. But he was a smooth talker, and he just knew how to talk to the women. And, hey, baby, you know, listen, you know, you look like you don't have a smile on your face. What's going on? And he just had all, his rap was just really, really tight. And, he knew all the chicks. So, hey, what can you say?
He probably had a lot of money.
Well.
You gotta burn your money
you
in those places.
You go through it quick in there, trust me.
You want to see this?
Even if you're one of them $1 at a time kind of guys, those dollars go quick.
I'm pretty sure they have ATM. You know, they have what is it that you put on the iPhone where you can
Square.
The square.
The card reader.
I'm sure the strippers got squares every now or you know.
Yeah,
ATMs.
I haven't been there in some time, so I'm sure the technology's. It'd be interesting to mm-hmm. know what's going on in
yeah.
that sphere mm-hmm. as far as technology is concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
let's go check it out, man.
After this, we're going.
All three of us.
All right.
That was a joke, guys.
Oh, bummer.